Usha, the new dawn, responses to disciples' questions, given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number 9.
Beloved Bhagwan, Robert Bly speaks of the three brains of man, the reptilian, the mammalian, and the new brain. The reptile brain is utterly cold and ruthless. It deals with and grows on survival issues. The mammalian deals with comforts, which include family, friends, relationship, home, society, religion, etc. What scientists call the new brain is a very thin, incredibly dense cellular layer surrounding the rest of the brain. They have found no purpose for it. Lai says that it deals with transcendence and grows on mystery. All three exist simultaneously, but shrink or grow depending on where we focus our energy. Each can seize control of available energy, and the first two try to do so when their survival is threatened. Book one, could you please talk about this in the context of your work with us, the commune, and the new man?
Ring or search. The scientific analysis of the mind, or more particularly of the brain, has nothing to do with my work about the new man and the new humanity. The brain is part of the body. It dies with the body. It is born with the body. My work consists in provoking in you that which has been before birth and that will remain even after your death. My concern is with your immortality. Hence the difference is tremendous. Science has not come yet to accept that which is beyond matter. Their whole work remains confined into the material existence. They don't think you have a soul. They don't conceive you as a spiritual being. And that is one of the most dangerous things about science. It destroys your basic dignity. It also destroys your most fundamental mission. What Robert Bly is talking about is very mundane. It is the analysis of how man's brain has developed from the reptile to the mammalian, and now there is a third layer growing, which he thinks is about transcendental. The transcendental by its very meaning means that which is beyond the mind. The brain cannot have any layer for the transcendental. It is true that brain has three divisions. The first is certainly concerned with the survival. You can give it any name, the reptile brain. It is very basic, because unless you survive, nothing else is possible. The second is mammalian, that reminds me of Jesus when he says, "You cannot live by bread alone." The bread is absolutely needed, but just bread is not enough for human beings. They need art, they need music, they need philosophy, they need religion. They need civilization. Their needs grow to much height than just survival. The third brain that is still growing consists not of the transcendental, as Robert Bly speaks of. It consists only of an effort to know the unknown, not the transcendental, but only the unknown. And there is a difference to be understood between the unknown and the transcendental. The transcendental is the unknowable. whatever you do, you will never be able to nourish. You can experience it. You can have it. You can dance it, you can sing it, you can drink it, but you cannot make it part of your mind and part of your knowledge. But there is much that is still unknown. Perhaps it is almost infinite that is unknown. The third layer is trying to move into the unknown. And its effort is how to make the unknown the known. The whole scientific endeavor is to demystify existence, to make everything known. Nothing remains unknown. And science accepts only the division between two. The whole existence is divided as the known and the unknown. The known is every day growing more and more as science progresses, and the unknown goes on diminishing. But the unknown is infinite. It will go on diminishing, but I don't think that there will come a day when science will be able to say that now there is no more any unknown left. Our work is finished, we can close the shop. Even just for the argument's sake, if it can be accepted that there may be a possibility that all the unknown becomes known, then too there is a third dimension which science has been consistently denying. And that third dimension is my work. It is the work of all the Buddhas of all the ages, of all the mystics, of all those who are really concerned with the essence of existence. And that third category is of the unknowable. Hence the word mysticism. Hence the word mystic. It is just the polar opposite of scientist. Science tries to demystify existence, and the mystic tries to destroy all demystification and to uncover the mystery again in its immense beauty and glory, in its wonder and in its splendor. The mystic's work is totally of a different dimension. It is not of the brain, not of the mind. It is beyond the capacity of both. Meditation is the way to go beyond mind and to enter into the dimension of the unknowable. And because the science is not willing to accept the unknowable, it is harming the whole humanity. Because unless you accept the possibility of the unknowable, meditation is meaningless. Meditation gains meaning only if there is the third category of unknowable, because meditation is a means to the unknowable. If you from the very beginning deny the unknowable, you are not going to accept even the possibility of meditation. And this is the blindness of science. In other words, this is the scientific superstition. Man has suffered long from religious superstitions. Now he is suffering from scientific superstitions. My work is to get men rid of all superstitions, scientific, religious, political, whatever their name may be. A superstition is a superstition. Science has no reasons, no arguments, no evidences to deny meditation. But it still goes on denying it. Its very denial is so unscientific and so laughable, so ridiculous. The scientist does not understand a very simple phenomenon, that by denying meditation, by denying the unknowable, he is denying himself. He is saying, I am a robot. He is saying there is nothing as consciousness in me. He is saying, I am only matter and a byproduct of matter. The moment man becomes just a byproduct of matter, then what is the harm in being cannibal? You can eat whenever you have chances, each other, without any difficulty, just a byproduct of matter. It is an old story that people can't see their own defect. It is not only applicable to people, it is also applicable to all that man has created. Religions are incapable of seeing their own defects. Strangely enough, Judaism cannot see the defect. That is intrinsic to it. Buddhism can see it. Buddhism cannot see the defect on which it is based. Jainism can see it. And so on goes the merry-go-round. Everybody is capable to see the Isra in the other's eye, and nobody is able to see the camel in his own eye. We become immune to our own defects. That was the fallacy of all the religions. That's why they failed humanity. They could not help. They had immense potential, but it was not used because of their superstitions. It was all lost into desert. They became so much involved to protect their superstitions, they became uncreative, only protective, defensive. The same is now happening with science. The same is true. Now science is very much afraid of anybody showing the defect in its basic structure. The new man will be free from the old religion and will be also free from the old science. It will be simply free from any superstitious approach to life. It will have an open approach without any prejudice. It will be available to any dimension for any inquiry. Religion used to say to science that this is not possible because it is not written in the Bible. The Bible was the prejudice in the West. How it can be possible if it is not written in the Bible? The religions were not ready to go beyond their scriptures. Again, it seems man goes on in a round. Science has suffered so much with the hands of the religious people. Just within this century, it has been able to get out of the prison. But it seems something natural. Although they are out of the prison of religion, they have created their own prison just out of old habits. Now, if anything goes against their scientific researches up to now, or if anything goes against their foundations of science, without any inquiry, they immediately deny it. they don't give an opportunity even to look into the matter. The same stubbornness, the same adamant, prejudiced outlook which they have borrowed from religion, Robert Bly is just a writer about science. He has no idea that science is not all. There is much more to life. All that I want is to make men capable of remaining open and vulnerable to everything, whether it is according to his belief system or not. It may destroy its whole belief system, but if it is true, the new man will go with truth. There are only two possibilities. Either you are ready to go with truth, or you drag truth behind yourself. That's what has been done up to now. Religions have been trying to drag truth according to their opinion. Truth has to be according to their ideology, their prejudice. Now science is doing the same stupidity. Now everything has to be according to science. Life is neither confined to religions, nor it is confined to science. Religion was created by men of old. Science is created by modern men. But life is far bigger than the ancient man, or the modern man, or the future man. Life will always remain bigger. And to accept the possibility of oneself always being in the wrong makes one humble. The new man will be absolutely humble before truth. His devotion will not be to any prejudice, scientific or religious. His devotion will be wholeheartedly for whatever is true. He will be ready to drop all kinds of prejudices, all belief systems, all hypotheses, if he comes to feel that there is some truth which is beyond all that he has been thinking up to now. The new man will be ready to go into the unknowable, and unknowable is not part of the mind. Unknowable is available to your being, to your consciousness, to the hidden sources of your life, except meditation, nobody can help you to drink out of the living sources of life. The spring is within you. It is not in the brain, it is not in the mind, it is not in the body. It is somewhere far more deeper, beyond time and beyond space. To me, meditation is the only possibility to destroy all superstitions and to make men free. To seek and search without any preconceived ideology. Prem Oscar the new man will use science for survival. More than that is not the use of science. It can give you better bread, better technology, better machines, better medicine. The new man will use it as a survival measure. The mammalian mind will be used for entertainment. For art, painting, music, dance, drama, any dimension that makes your life richer and decorated. And the new man will use the third layer of the mind, to search hidden layers of reality, unknown spaces of reality. But these are only three divisions of the mind. The new man will also use the fourth. He will also use meditation to get beyond mind and to see as a pure observer and a witness the miracle of existence, the mystery which cannot be demystified. In fact, the more you enter into it, the more mysterious it becomes. The more you know it, in other words, the less you know it. The day you know it, you don't know it at all.
Beloved Bhagwan, I feel like I'm buried alive under my fear. I've always been so desperately trying to be someone special to hide this fear, running further and further away from myself till I don't know anymore what it means to be real. Why do I still feel such a need to hide behind masks, which I know only bring me pain and emptiness, never allowing me to love or feel loved by anyone? Why am I so afraid? Even here, at your feet, surrounded by those who want to love and help me, I'm still hiding. Bhagwan, please strip me naked, tear me apart.
Deva and Dwapa, the fear you are suffering from is rooted in every being. It is bound to be so. Because every day we know someone dies. And we know that we are standing in the same queue. And whenever someone dies, we are moving in the queue closer to death. Soon we will be on the window to take the ticket and to get out of existence. The poet is right when he says, don't send anybody to ask for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. When someone dies, an old tradition, in the churches the bell starts tolling to inform the whole village that someone is dead. Come back from your farm, your gardens, your orchards. It is a call for people that somebody has died and he has to be given the last send off. But the poet is perfectly right. Don't send anyone to ask who has, for whom the bell tolls. It always tolls for thee. Whenever someone dies, you are reminded again that you are an mortal being. The death can take possession of you any moment. This is the root fear. All other fears are reflections of it. If you go deep down in any fear, you will find the fear of death. You are asking, I feel like I am buried alive under my fear. Everybody is in the same situation. You are fortunate that you have become aware of it. Because if you are aware, you can come out. And if you are unaware, then there is no possibility of coming out. You say, I have always been so desperately trying to be someone special to hide this fear. Running further and further away from myself till I don't know anymore what it means to be real. Do you think the people who are special are doing something else? The presidents and the prime ministers and the kings and the queens, do you think they are in a different boat? Just look around and you will find them all in the same boat. They are all trying to be special. For a hope that perhaps if they are special, life will treat them differently than it treats the ordinary people. Obviously, it cannot treat a president of a country the same way it treats a shoemaker. But they are absolutely wrong. Life makes no discrimination. Presidents are shoemakers. Toilet cleaners are prime ministers. It does not matter at all as far as life is concerned. Death knocks them off. With equality. Death is the only communist in the world. It does not care whether you have money or you are a beggar, you are educated or uneducated. You cannot say that just wait, I am qualified enough. You cannot behave this way like you behave with uneducated people. Just wait a little, I am a police commissioner of Pune. You cannot behave this way. First, give me a notice. and I will consider and you have to follow a certain discipline decided by me. Whether you are a police commissioner or just a stray dog, it makes no difference. Death comes and makes everybody equal. But the desire is that if you are special, existence will treat you with some kindness, some compassion. It will think twice that the man is a Nobel Prize winner. Just give him a little more longer life. The poor fellow is a great painter. You should not blow his candle off just the way you do with everybody else. This is the hidden hope, unconscious hope. That everybody goes on trying to be special. But it is absolutely foolish and absurd. Just look back what has happened to the millions of kings and millions of queens. Who were so powerful. But before death, everybody is absolutely powerless. In Jena scriptures, there is a very beautiful story. In India, there is a mythology. That if a man becomes a world conqueror, he has a special name for him, no ordinary king, not even an emperor. He is called Chakravartin. It means that his wheel of his chariot can move around the earth anywhere. Nobody can hinder it. He is all powerful. The story is about one Chakravarti. And because he is a Chakravarti, the mythology says that in heaven they are treated in a special way. There is a golden mountain. The Himalayas is nothing but a very small soil. In comparison to the gold mountain called Sumeru, only Chakravartins have the special privilege to sign their name on the gold mountain. And when this Chakravartin died, he was so much excited to sign on the gold mountain in the heaven is the greatest privilege that any human being can ever attain. But what is the use if you are alone there to see it? So he managed that his whole court, his queen, his friends, his generals should all commit suicide immediately the moment he died. So they all reach into heaven simultaneously, because he wants to sign on the gold mountain as nobody else has ever done before. Signing alone, there is not even a witness. What is the joy in it? He must have been a perfect exhibitionist. And because of his orders, all his friends, his queens, his members of the court, his generals all committed suicide as he died. And they all entered the gates of heaven together. The gatekeeper stopped them and he said, "Let the Chakravartin go alone first to sign on the mountain." But they said, "We have committed suicide only for a simple purpose, that we want our Chakravartin to sign before all of us. His queens are here, his generals are here, his wise counselor are here, his ministers are here, and we have even sacrificed our life just to see him sign. You cannot prevent us." But the gatekeeper said, "Forgive me. I had been on this post for centuries, and before that my father, and before that my grandfather. This post has been occupied by my forefathers since the very beginning of time. And I have heard from my elders that never allow any Chakravartin to go to the mountain in front of others, because he will repent it very badly later on. And they all insist, you are not the first who has brought a whole army with himself. Almost every Chakravartin has done the same. So I simply want you to remember that you will repent if I allow these people." I have no problem. You can have some time to think over it. You are new, you don't know what is going to be the experience. And I have seen many Chakravartins coming and going. And everybody has thanked me afterwards that you are very kind that you prevented everybody else and sent me alone. Chakravartin thought what to do, because he does not know what actually is going to happen. And this man seems to be authentic and sincere, and he has no reason unnecessarily to prevent. There is no harm for these people if they go and see. But I don't know what actually is going to happen, so it is better to listen to his advice. So he stopped everybody on the gate. He took the instruments from the gatekeeper to go and sign on the gold. He went inside the gate towards the mountain. He could not believe such beauty. As long as he could see, there was all gold and gold. Mountain peaks reaching so high that Himalaya certainly looked like a toy. As he came closer to find a place to sign, he was shocked because there was no space. The whole mountain was shining. Because we have been here for eternity. Millions and millions of Chakravartins have died. He was thinking, I am very special. And there is not even a little space left on this big mountain. He moved around, no space anywhere. And then he came across another person, the mountain keeper. He said, don't waste your time. Even if you go in search for a millennia, you will not find any empty space. All space is filled. So the Chakravartin said, where I am going to sign? He said, for centuries. I have been serving here, my father has been serving here. From the very beginning, my family has been at this job. And I have heard from my forefathers the same story, that whenever any Chakravartin has come, there was no space. So the only way has been found is, erase one of the names and sign your name and forget all about its speciality. It is such a vast existence. That's why the gatekeeper has prevented the army that you had brought. Now, before all those people, you will have lost all pride. You can just erase, I will help, I am here. The whole joy was gone, the whole excitement was gone. And he said to the man that it means somebody else will come tomorrow and he will erase my name. He said that of course is the case, because there is no space. To create a space, that is the only way. We cannot create more mountains. All the gold in the heaven has been used to create the mountain. You simply sign that on the door you can go with your head high and you can brag. Nobody is going to know, because I am not going to tell anybody. That's why the gatekeeper did not tell you why he is preventing your army. Just go and brag that the whole mountain was empty. But the king was a man of some integrity, and so he said that I cannot do. Neither I can erase, and I am not going to sign. It is absolutely stupid. And he came back and he told to the gatekeeper that I am thankful to you, but I am going to tell my people why I am thankful to him. And I am going to spread the news in the world, because many of these people have committed suicide, they will have to be born again. They cannot remain in the heaven. I will make every effort to send the message to the world that don't unnecessarily waste your life in conquering the world to sign on the gold mountain in heaven. There is no escape. First you have to erase somebody's name, which is ugly. And then you have to sign in that place. And tomorrow somebody else will erase it. The whole exercise is of simple stupidity. I am shocked but a great realization has arisen in me that one should not ask for speciality. Because existence does not accept anybody as special, superior or inferior. Your fear is driving you towards being special, but that will not change the situation. The only way the fear can be dropped is, rather than putting your energy in being special, put your whole energy in being yourself. Just find yourself, because in trying to be special you are running further and further away from yourself. That you are clearly aware of it. It is good. The farther away you go from yourself, the farther away you are knowing the truth that you are an immortal, there is no death. And once you recognize your immortality, death disappears, and with death all fears evaporate in the air. But not by becoming someone special. In the religious instruction lesson, the teacher asks the class who wants to go to heaven. All the children put their hands up, except for little Haini. The teacher asks him why he does not want to go to heaven. Well, little Haini says, my father keeps saying business has gone to hell and I want to be where the business is. What should I do in heaven? You will go on running further and further away from yourself in search of something that can take away your fear, your paranoia, your death. But the farther away you are, the more will be the fear, more will be the paranoia, more overwhelming will be the death. It is better to go inward. And find out your real being. This is a simple logic, a simple arithmetic, that before searching anywhere else, please search within yourself. The world is vast. You will be lost in the search. But first look within yourself, maybe what you are looking for is already there. And all the great enlightened people of the world are absolutely in agreement that it is there. Without any exception. This is the only scientific truth that has no exception, which has remained unchanged. As back as you can go, you will find it always declared by those who have known themselves. That we are immortal, that we are deathless, that life knows no end. So first to go in, just a glimpse of your own immortality. And as if one has awakened from a nightmare. All the fear disappears. And instead of fear, there is nothing but pure bliss, pure joy. Just flowers showering eternally with the fragrance of eternity.
Beloved Bhagwan, sometimes I have so much energy, I really think I might burst. This energy materializes in different forms. One moment it's pure excitement and frenzied joy. The next, it's total paralyzed misery. I am so addicted to action and drama that by lunch break I'm already out cold from exhaustion. How can I direct this loopy energy phenomenon so that I can enjoy it rather than it enjoying me?
Bring deeper. Once there was a man who took a ride in an aeroplane. Unfortunately, he fell out of the plane. Fortunately, he was wearing a parachute. Unfortunately, the parachute was not properly fed and it did not open. Fortunately, there was a haystack in the field below. Unfortunately, there was a sharp pitchfork sticking straight out of the haystack. Fortunately, the man missed the pitchfork. Unfortunately, he also missed the haystack. Just that's how life goes on. There is no need to be too much worried about it. Enjoy your energy. Sometimes it is fortunate and sometimes unfortunate. You have to accept both. If you want it to be always fortunate, then you are asking too much. It is not possible in this changing world. Everything is going up and down always. So when you are up, enjoy. When you are down, rest and wait, then soon you are going to be up. The down period should be rest period, and the up period should be dancing period. And it is perfectly natural, otherwise life will become very monotonous. This tragic comic drama, one moment it is tragedy, another moment it is comedy, makes life more juicy. More spicy. I don't see, Prem Deepa, that there is any problem. You say sometimes I have so much energy, I really think I might burst. You only think. I know people who really burst and then come together again. Unfortunately, they burst. Fortunately, they come together again. You only think, and still you are thinking that you are in a great difficulty. This energy materializes in different forms. Great. One moment it is pure excitement and frenzied joy. The next it is total paralyzed misery. Great. I am so addicted to action and drama that by lunch break I am already out cold from exhaustion. Great! How can I direct this loopy energy phenomenon so that I can enjoy it? Rather than it enjoying me, just say every time it changes, great. And you will be enjoying it rather than it enjoying you. It is a simple secret. Whenever it changes, say great. And don't be worried that others are hearing, because they may not be knowing what is going on inside. But this communion is of the mad people. They know that here are all kinds of crazy people. This woman must be having some great things happening inside, cannot contain her joy, and sounds loudly great. And you will start a movement. You will find others also thinking that this is something. Why we should be behind? And soon you will be seeing people just walking around shouting great. There is no need to bother about anybody. Here everybody understands everybody else. That all are mad. And they enjoy everybody. Nobody is going to condemn you. If anybody condemns, report. For what I am here. Okay.